nervous, very scared to take the next step. I was thinking about an example I could use in my own life. I've never been skydiving or bungee jumping or anything like that. So I was going to try to think of something cool that I'd done in my life, and I couldn't really think of anything. So so what I was thinking of, trying to think of the most nervous I've ever been to take the next step, physically speaking. Some of you guys who have ever been to Camp Sycamore Creek know that they have some trust building type exercises. They have some things that they build to kind of help to build trust. They have a zip line, and they have this little line that you walk down. You try to build teamwork and those sorts of things. But one of the things that they have there at the camp is called the Leap of Faith, and we all call it the Leap of Death. And basically what it is it's a tree that they've cut all the branches off except leaving little knobs for like steps. And it's probably 20 feet tall? I'm not sure. Seems like a million when you get up there. So I was up there for a training exercise, trying to learn how to climb that particular thing, to work on the apparatus, because they put you on this harness. They put on this harness, and they have a rope that's tied to it, and that rope is then up over this contraption. I don't know. It's supposed to be a safety, a safety feature. It's supposed to make you feel better. And so I was there learning that. And as I was watching the other guys go through the process, I was thinking the whole time, man, that's really cool. And way to go. Good job. As they go, each guy goes up. Well, then, got my turn. I thought, well, it didn't really look that difficult. And so, I'm very nervous. I'm not all that terrified of heights, but I don't really like ladders much. I've fallen off a few ladders. And I also, I don't know, there's something about depending on a rope and a strap, and I've never really done anything like that. So I was nervous. And so they strapped me up, got me all connected to it, and then what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to climb up the little rungs and get to the top. And then out about maybe 10 feet from you is a, maybe not that far, it seems like that far, is a little bell that's hanging. And what the point of the exercise is, you're supposed to get up on top. I'm going to get up on the podium here in a second. Get up on top of there, and it's about that big. And you're supposed to stand up on top like this. It's the only way you can accomplish the feat. You stand up on top, and then you're supposed to jump. And as you jump, you have a little stick or something. You climb the bell with it. And that's when you've accomplished it. So I guess it's climbing up, and I was about, a little bit up, and I started looking down, and I was like, oh, this is high. But I just tried to keep my head up, tried to keep going up to what I was doing. And I got up near the top, and it just, that little piece looked like quarter size on the top of that. Your feet look about size 15s, and you're standing on a quarter. That's what it felt like when you got up there. And everybody's like, come on, you gotta just step up. You gotta just stand up on top. I'm like, I don't know what you mean. That guy's like Shep and some other guys who were down on the ground who had never done it before. Come on, you can do it. Just step up there, Will. And so he didn't really say that. You did say that. So as I get up there, and they say, you just have to get the courage up for like 1 second. And just take a big breath and just step up. So that's what I did. Took a big breath. Well, okay, several breaths. And it didn't wasn't that quick, all right? But I stood up and they're like, okay, you've got that harness on. It will protect you. That harness will keep you from falling. That rope, there's a guy down here very trained at what he's doing. And he will keep you from falling if you do fall. Well, you had to fall because you were jumping out. Oh, I don't understand this. Why am I doing this? You get up there and the wind's blowing and the tree's going like this. It feels like one of those little twigs, like Jeremy grabbing on our camping trip one time to keep himself up. I'll tell you that story later. But So I stepped up, and I was standing on that top, and it was floating back and forth. I've done it. I hadn't even started yet. Now you gotta jump. Just jump. Come on, wimp. And so, after a few seconds, I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna do it. You ever think about that feeling the second that you're about to do that? Have you ever done anything like that, bungee jumping, or anything totally crazy and weird like that? Maybe it's not anything that dramatic. Maybe it's not skydiving or anything like that. But that moment when it's do or die. And so you put your foot out, and I mean, you get that feeling in your gut, right? A butterfly feeling, and you're just like, what am I doing? But I want to do this. I want to accomplish it. And so you step. And as soon as I stepped out and I swung out, I rang the bell, and that was suspended by the thing. That was actually pretty fun. I was not going to do it again, but it was pretty fun. So we turned around and we went to camp a couple weeks after that, 3 weeks after that. And I was the one holding the rope. That was my job. They had trained me to belay. You hold the rope and you have to hold it a certain way, and it has to be just tightened just enough to hold the person. It's not hard, and you don't have to be super strong, obviously, to do it, because I did keeling. And I think Mr. Jay went up there, and several others went up there and did. You know, but I was on the ground, and I was able to not only be the one that people trusted in, but also be the one to give encouragement, because I had been there. I had been up that thing. And I knew that feeling. I knew what that feeling was like. Some people were like Jim, who'd never been up on it. Come on, wimp. It's not that bad. Well, you've never stood on there. I knew what that feeling was like to stand right there. I knew what they were feeling. And it's a good and a bad feeling at the same time. Anybody been there before? If you've ever done that particular thing, you have definitely been there. Or some other stuff. The temptation is in our lives to find a comfortable place and to stay there. We've been talking about in our Sunday morning class, we did a series before on a book called Crazy Love, and basically his challenge is to never stand still. Always continue to grow. Always continue to move in your relationship with God. Always continue to press forward and try to challenge yourself to stay out of your comfort zone. Doesn't have to take a huge, massive step out, but taking that step out of that comfort zone. But the human tendency is to find a place to settle and just to stay in that comfortable place. To stand on top of that pole. See, here's the problem with that pole, though. It wasn't comfortable because I'd either come down or go back up. And I think coming down on those little knobs would be worse than going up. So it was like, okay, you either got to go backwards or you got to go forwards, because you can't stay right here all day. One or the other. And really, that's exactly what happens. Do we ever, if we intend to stay in the same place, do we ever really stay there? No, you're going to go either forwards or you're going to go backwards. Maybe incrementally. But the challenge is to keep moving. To get over that feeling of, oh man, I don't think I can do this, to, wow, that was awesome. I want to do that again. The story that I want us to just briefly look at is very familiar. And I've preached a sermon before. I apologize, you probably don't remember it anyway. I have preached on this text, but not in this particular context. Jesus has just, if you look back before this, Jesus has just suffered a couple of setbacks, okay, according to the world. He was in this mode of going around, and he was like a rock star, right? Everybody was following him around. Oh, Jesus, you can do miracles, and you can do this, and you can do that. Everybody wanted to hear him speak. He was such a great speaker. And then he decided, I think I'll go home. What happened when he went home? He was totally rejected. Sure, it felt terrible. All of his friends, all of his family, all of his neighbors. Dude, you're that little kid that, you know, you're nothing big. You're nothing great. And then he says, prophet is without honor in his own country, or something like that. Then he finds out, right after that, he finds out that his cousin has been killed, has been beheaded, John the Baptist. One of his greatest workers. The guy that said he was that his job was to go before him and to introduce him, right? And so the disciples are on kind of a little bit of a low here. They've gone through a section of town where they were not appreciated, and then now they found out John the Baptist has been beheaded. Take his body, they bury his body, and then they come to this place, and everywhere they went, thousands of people gathered, right? Thousands of people would follow. Well, they get there, and Jesus looks to his disciples and he says, hey, these people are hungry. You need to feed them. And they look at him like, what are you talking about? You can't be serious. 5,000 people, really? They're all looking in their pockets. No, we don't got any money. Don't you remember back in a few months ago, Jesus, you told us, don't carry money. When you're traveling around, don't carry any money. We don't got anything. So they're all looking at each other like, what is he talking about? And Jesus said, go gather up whatever food you can find. And so they go, and they're like, okay, Jesus, here it is. 5,000 people. And Jesus doesn't do anything like, he doesn't take he doesn't do some kind of a thing, and all of a sudden there's this huge feast, right? It's not really for a big show. He says, all right, take the food and just start passing it out. You've got to be kidding me. We're going to be the laughing stock. Okay, it'll be like everybody taking Lord's Supper, right? Take a little bit. You know, the smallest piece, not too much. We've got 5,000 people it's got to go. It was 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 people. Mm-mm. What happened? As they passed it out, it continued to grow. People started taking stuff out, and it just kept refilling itself. I don't know how it happened. And the disciples come back, and they're amazed. They have 12 baskets full of stuff left over. They're absolutely amazed. The people, I don't think, ever had a clue what happened. One of the greatest miracles of all time had happened, and the people sitting there didn't have a clue. All they know is, that was some good fish. Got some fish fry, and boy, it was better than Captain D's. It was delicious. Sorry, Jennifer. It was delicious. So his disciples, okay, they've got this in their mind. Who is this guy? I was looking at it. There was 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the basket. And it fed 5,000 people. Who is this guy? So then Jesus commands them to go get in the boat and go across the lake. So they get in the boat, they go across the lake, and they stay in the boat for a while. Jesus goes off to pray. And as he goes off to pray, a storm comes up. Right? It doesn't say necessarily this is not the time where they were afraid of the storm. Right? It must not have been that big of a deal. So they're on the boat. They were all fishermen, most of them. And so they're on the boat, and all of a sudden they look out and they see what they think is a ghost walking across the water. Now, why were they surprised to see a figure walking across water? Anybody ever tried? I know Jared has tried it. I saw Jared. You tried it, didn't you? Walk on water?
Kind of.
How long did it last?
Less than a second.
Less than a second. Okay.
But it was still less than a second.
Less than a second. You see a magician. I remember like a David Copperfield or somebody like that. They say, well, I can walk across water. Everybody seen that? Them try to do those tricks? Mm-hmm. Immediately, what's your thought? Wow, he's amazing. He can walk on water. What are you trying to do? Figure out how he did it. I didn't even see the platforms under there. Why do we think that? Because it's impossible. Can't happen. I've tried it a few times. I don't know why I tried it more than once. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You think you can accomplish it. And Jesus calls out to them, settle down, it's just me. And immediately, Peter, for some unknown reason, decides, I want to do that. That is so cool. Now, I don't know if he just was just so eager to see Jesus and give him a hug or what. I don't know why he was so wanting to get out. Maybe it's just a dream of his to walk on water. I don't know. Now I want you to think about this for just a second. in three ways. Okay, I want you to think about Peter himself. What was he thinking? Think about Jesus, his role that he played, and I want us to think about the people that stayed in the boat. Okay? People that stayed in the boat. As Peter's getting ready to step out, he says, "Hey, Jesus, just tell me, if you'll just say the word, just say, come out here, I will get out of the boat and I will come over there." Now, that's one of the difficult things about our spiritual lives, I think, as a Christian. I don't think Jesus is going to do that for us. You know, you think, I need to take a step forward. I need to move in this direction or that direction. I need to challenge myself. God, if you will just say the words, you need to get up here and you need to move to, you know, such and such. Or you need to find a new job and you need to spend more time. You need to do whatever it is, whatever that challenge, that outside the comfort zone experience that we were talking about is. Wouldn't it be easier if it was just commanded? But that's not the way it works. But for Peter, it was. Immediately, what do you think? Now, again, we're speculating here. Okay? But these guys were people, all right? And they probably had a lot of the same attitudes that we had. What do you think immediately some of the disciples' response was? He's at the edge and he's getting ready to step over the edge of the boat. What do you think he might have heard? This is where you talk. What are you doing? Get back in here. It's about like Sean on the Maid of the Mist in Niagara Falls. Okay? He was scared to death of the water. And he was right next to the very inside against the wall like this. Eventually he did actually look over the side. Okay? But if I was getting ready to go over, he just said, "Are you nuts? Why would they say that?" They know what happens when you step on water. Usually. What happens? You immediately sink. They're all looking at them. Okay, so that's the first one. Some of them are like, "What are you thinking? What are you doing?" What else? What else might he have heard?
You do it first.
Yeah, I'll come right. I'm right behind you. Yep, I am absolutely right behind you. Just you step out and I'm right there. Or some people might be, "Well, he didn't tell me to do it. He told Peter to. I would do it." But Peter's the one he asked to do it. So, you know, I'm not scared. Right?
Sure.
I'd step out there. And then some people, I imagine, were encouraging. You know, like John, some of those guys. Well, they were good guys. "You can do it, Peter. Don't be afraid. That's Jesus out there. He's not going to let you fall." And Peter looks back. "How do you know that? You've never walked on water." So you got all these different people that are in the back, okay, that are trying to either give encouragement or discouragement or trying to wake people up to reality, right? They're all in the back. They're not ever going to step out of the boat. Okay, now maybe some would if they took the lead of the other person, but they have no intention of doing what he's doing. All right, now think about it from Peter's perspective. As he's stepping out of the boat, what do you think he's feeling? You don't have to think. You know what he's feeling. He's feeling that feeling in his gut we talked about earlier. "I'm about to step on the water." And I know what's happened when I've tried this a few times. He's a fisherman. I'm sure he's been in the water a few times. Maybe not on purpose. Maybe not like Jared trying to walk on water. But by accident, maybe he'd fallen in. "Every time I see, I've fallen in the water 10 times. Every time I've sunk." So as he's thinking, he's got that feeling in his gut. And he looks at Jesus, and Jesus he's encouraging. "Come on. You can do this. If Jesus says it, I know. I just saw him. I just saw him." Feed 5,000 people with one little basket of food. Jesus can do anything. I've seen him raise people from the dead. I've seen him heal people. I know that he can accomplish this. And so as he steps out of the boat, he has confidence in Jesus, but he has that nervous feeling, right? And he knows it's nothing about him. He can't accomplish it. Now think about Jesus. In this story, sometimes we want to focus on what happens after he starts thinking about other stuff besides that Jesus can do this. And as soon as he starts thinking about the waves and the wind and the shark that might eat him, what happens? Starts to sink. He loses his faith. He loses his focus on Jesus. He loses the confidence in himself that Jesus can do whatever it is. He already knew he couldn't walk on water. But he started to do it. And then he started to get rattled. He started to get fearful. He started to worry about what might happen. We always want to focus on Jesus' statement. Why did you have so little faith? But don't you think that he was pretty proud of Peter for taking that step? Don't you think that that step was extremely amazing? And Jesus might have been wondering, where's everybody else? What would have happened? Again, total speculation. All right, I hate to speculate on the Bible story, but that's what would have happened if John would have said, you know what? Mark, I'm out there with you. What might have happened? They could have encouraged one another, maybe. They could have had even more confidence if there were two. We don't know. But I know that Jesus might have been wondering, where's everyone else? They've seen my power. They know what I can accomplish. They know what can be done through me. Where are people? Where are the rest of the disciples and apostles? And so you see these three perspectives, these three different ways of thinking. People from behind that are either encouraging or discouraging. And you got Peter himself who's just feeling that feeling of nausea as he steps out of the boat. And then a feeling of pride and exhilaration, but then fear. I'm going to make the application of this very short. I think, for me, spiritually speaking, sometimes I feel I want to stay in the comfort zone. But what happens if you, let's make a little bit of a different thought on this, in a marriage relationship. If things stay the same and nothing ever changes, if your relationship is never challenged, if neither one of you ever step outside your comfort zone in your relationship, what kind of a relationship does it become? Or can it become? Stale and boring. Right? Something that has no exhilaration to it at all. And it doesn't matter what the little change is or what the little thing that happens or the renewing of the relationship. Those things, but you know what happens to a lot of relationships when people get in their 50s and 60s. A lot of people just, I don't know you anymore. Who are you? Hello? And a lot of them separate. It's happening more and more and more. Life without that feeling of butterflies can become very boring. When I stepped off of that pole, that was a feeling I'd never had in my entire life. And it was exhilarating. And I didn't want to do it again anytime soon. But it was exhilarating. And I was less afraid to do it again. And I have done it a couple more times since then. But spiritually speaking, what happens to a group of people who never step outside their comfort zone? Walk into most churches and find out. People got a bland look on their face like, oh, I've got to put in my hour. And then, you know, and I know it's not that way here. But for each individual person, it can become that way. When I stay in my comfort zone and I never step out. And somebody comes up with an idea, you know, I want to do such and such. I want to step out and I want to start a program to feed the homeless. Or I want to go into my neighborhood and I want to knock doors. And I want to try to set up some Bible studies. And all of these things are things that may be out of our comfort zone. And you always got the people behind you doing what? You start it and I'll show up next week. Or, are you kidding me? You're going to go into that neighborhood? Are you kidding me? You're going to do that? You're going to break holy sacred church tradition and you're going to blah, 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 which, you know, we know it isn't really to begin with. And then you got your people that are, you know, you can do it. I know you can do it. You come with me? I'm a little busy this week. It's not really my skill set, so I'm going to just. So you got all those people behind you. And then you got Jesus. What's he doing? Come on. Come on out. Now, maybe not literally. Step out. On faith. and then it's you. And you're at the edge, getting ready to step into something you've never tried. You've never accomplished, you don't know that you could ever have accomplished in your life, spiritually speaking. But this also works in the physical world, but we're focusing on the spiritual. Of course you're going to be afraid. Of course you're going to get butterflies. Of course you're going to feel like, oh, I'm going to throw up. But what happens when you step out? Now, thing is, Peter didn't exactly succeed, did he? It wasn't exactly how he pictured it in his mind. What he saw was stepping out there, oh, Jesus! You know, everybody just clapping, you know, and Peter does this, goes down in history as, you know, well, he went down in history all right. Somebody who failed to walk on water. I mean, he did it for a couple steps, right? But, I mean, it wasn't how he pictured it in his mind. But the thing about Peter was, it didn't discourage him. He kept on stepping out, and he kept on stepping out. He failed a few more times. But that feeling, what's on the other side of that feeling? Mostly. Exhilaration. Satisfaction. That's what's on the other side. I remember back in high school, you could have told me, I would have never believed that I would ever feel comfortable speaking in front of a group of people. I was shy. I still am shy. But I was very shy. And some of my friends from high school, they're like, you do what? And I remember the first time I stood up at Harding University in front of 3,000 people in chapel and I spoke. I thought I was going to throw up. My knees were knocking behind the pulpit. That was a really big podium. Ex-cathedra. My knees are knocking. All right? But I overcame the butterflies, and then I was like, I want to do that again. Then you stand in front, I remember the first funeral I preached. Talked, or spoke, or whatever you call it. I was scared to death. All this family sitting there, they're all crying, and they're always, I got to say something that's going to encourage them. I wasn't exactly exhilarated after the funeral, okay? But it was a feeling of satisfaction, of accomplishment. I can remember the first time that I asked Eric McKissick to teach, or that he was asked to teach. And he ran out the back door, practically. Right? Walked out the back door. Right? Walked out. He doesn't run, sorry. He does not run. He walked out the back door. How do you guys know that after, I don't know, a couple years of saying, okay, I'll sit in the back of the class. Eric teaches the class by himself. That's an awesome accomplishment, Eric. And there's others of you guys here that just in the REACH program have gone outside of your comfort zone and have done things that you never thought you would do. And doesn't it feel good? When you get in there and teach the kid, it doesn't always feel good, okay? But it feels good to be able to teach and to feel like you have that ability. But the problem is sometimes then I forget what that feeling's like. See, I don't have to just stop there. I can keep on going. Keep on finding things to challenge myself. Keep finding ways in my spiritual life to grow and to mature and to continue to get that feeling. And then the feeling of satisfaction, of accomplishment. And I know, I just think of Jesus' face as we do those things for Him. Doesn't that sound much more exciting than just everybody in the status quo and doing the same things over and over and over again? I don't know where each individual, I know where some of you individually are, kind of, because I know you pretty well. But I don't know where each individual person is in their spiritual walk. But I know this, it does not matter where you are. There's another step. And then there's another step. You can't ever stand still. You can't ever stop moving and growing, or what happens? We go backwards. And so the challenge this morning is to be like Peter and to stand on the edge of that boat. And even though there were some detractors, even though people say, you can't do that, even though people weren't going to lead him anywhere, he stepped out of the boat. And he felt an extreme sense of satisfaction after Jesus gave him CPR. He felt an extreme sense of satisfaction about what he had accomplished. And the thing is, here it is. He accomplished nothing. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. It was his power he was depending on. It was him he was trusting in. He was the guy down at the end with the rope that had his life or his death in his hands. And he had complete trust. I wonder whether I have that to the extent that I want it. And I wonder whether you do. If we're a church, if we're a family that's always challenging one another, always encouraging one another, leading one another in our growth, not numerical growth, but in our individual growth, what in the world kind of place will this be even more than it already is? This is already the greatest place on the earth, in my opinion. No offense. Here's the second greatest. Okay. But I've never been there, so Dad told me it was the second greatest. So that's the challenge for today. Okay, sorry I went a little bit long-winded, but I've been thinking about the sermon ever since we started the book Crazy Love. I did some classes downstairs on this. Is that we have got to, as a body, just continue to encourage one another to grow outside of our comfort zone, to step outside of the box, and to be what God wants us and knows that we can be. Matt's chosen a song. Marching to Zion. And we're gonna sing that song. And if you would like to have some encouragement, if you'd like to have the presence of the church, we'd love for you to, you can come up maybe on this front here, and we'll say a special prayer for you this morning. If you'd like to become a Christian, that opportunity exists for you today as we stand and sing this song.
Come we that love the Lord and that joy we know, join in.